I am doing well as well.
Yeah, well, you just had some of those boneless wings.
I did.
How badly
can
it be going?
Oh, my goodness. They were delicious. Fresh, nice and hot, all white meat chicken. It was a great little dish. I'm working my way down the appetizer menu first here at Born and Raised.
Aha. That's your checklist.
Yeah.
Coach, you know what you're going with yet?
I don't know. I'm going to start off those artichokes. That looks good, though.
I just had one.
Did you have
They're
one?
Good.
Yeah,
They're
I like
good.
That. My mom used to always make those growing up, so got to try that out.
All right, Rebels coming off the loss at home against San Diego State, but let's talk first about the very emotional and moving tribute to the victims, survivors, and first responders of the catastrophe at the concert. And UNLV did a marvelous job of all that, didn't they?
Yeah, we appreciate it. You know, I mean, a lot of thought went into it, and even beyond UNLV, just the people that helped out, and, you know, Metro and Fire and first responders. A lot of people got together in a very short amount of time to put together what I thought was a spectacular and appropriate pregame, you know, honor all those people and honor the victims. So it was great. You know, Kaya Jones came on out and, you know, sung God Bless America, which was fantastic. And, you know, we really appreciate San Diego State, too, participating in it and being a part of it. And, you know, those are things that, you know, they can be considered distractions, but I think we all realized the pointy in it and the appropriateness of it. And it was great to be a part of. And I'm just glad those people got the recognition they deserved.
I agree. It was an appropriate, I think, tribute. And I think a lot of times with a situation like that, you can get caught up and make it more about that than, you know, about the venue that you're in and kind of lose sight of, you know, what you're here to do. But I think it is important to get a tribute like that right, and I think Vegas did a great job, UNLV and everybody who was involved, San Diego State, like you said, helping out. Coming up to the stadium, the fire department having that flag draped out in front of Sam Boyd, just walking up to the stadium, I think you got the emotions that were going to be inside once you got in there. And, you know, the fan involvement in the tribute was also a good thing. You know, the cell phone lights going off. Also, a little halftime, fans getting involved, singing along to Proud to Be an American. That was a good moment, I think, also throughout the game. I know Coach was in the locker room for that part. But, yeah, it was a well-done tribute that last week. Emotional, of course, but it was well done.
And as you both mentioned, San Diego State deserves a lot of credit. They're showing a lot of class by going along with all of it.
Yeah, their administration and Coach Long, they just, you know, I mean, it wasn't even a question. They were just like, yep, what do you need? You know, but that's what you do, you know. That's what America's all about. Jump on board and help everybody out.
One of the most moving things to me was when the players shook the hands of the first responders and a lot of the people who were there.
Yeah, you know, I went out first, so a lot of that stuff happened behind me. Got to see the video afterwards and watching them embrace those guys and just the smiles and then the handshakes and the pats on the back and, you know, the hugs. And it was just great to see these young men, you know, with, again, firefighters and metro officers and first responders just showing genuine appreciation for one another. And again, the officers and firefighters and first responders and doctors, they were just as excited to be around the players and to be on out there. So it was just, I thought it was a really good moment when I watched back on it.
So I also noticed from the booth that you and some of the coaching staff were wearing, instead of the traditional polos, you were wearing the Vegas Strong t-shirt. Can you talk about that a little bit?
That was something that came out, you know, immediately that the community jumped on and embraced. And again, we just felt like it was appropriate to go ahead and, you know, and we knew we were on national TV and we wanted to let everybody know how much we love our city and that this is a strong city. And we thought that was needed to be represented.
Now to the game itself. The Rebels came out pretty strong in the first quarter. Most of the first half, it was nice to see the goal line defense forcing that fumble early on.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they came out and, you know, getting the ball first, and they put together a really good drive. And, you know, again, that kind of what we've been doing is bend but don't break, you know, type of defense down there kind of held true again on that first series at least. And, you know, we were able to create that turnover, which was big momentum. We kind of backed up, and the unfortunate part is on a second down, we had a shot play, and we had him beat, which would have been at least a big game if not a touchdown. And, you know, and we overthrew it a little bit, and those things happen early in the game. And then they got the ball and were able to go on down. And, again, we held them again to a field goal, and then we were able to match that. So at that point, we were playing pretty good football, had some stops. You know, they had a stop. You know, we had one missed opportunity. We got a field goal, so you're sitting there at 3-3 after a change of a couple possessions.
One of the big plays early on, San Diego State converted a 3rd and 19. One of several key third down conversions they were able to make.
Yeah, that was, you know, that was disappointed, and I was a little vocal about that one. You know, you can't give that up. This can't happen, and we got no drop from the backers on that, and that's exactly what happened in that situation. You have the safeties umbrellaed over the top, and you got to get drops, so they got to put some air on it, and they didn't do that. Fortunately, it didn't end up resulting in a touchdown. We were able to go ahead and hold them to a field goal there. However, if you stop them in that 3rd and 19, they're probably not even in field goal range at that time. So, again, unfortunate.
That you talked about that missed opportunity on a shot play. I believe it was the Kendall Keys
it
on
was.
The post route down the middle. I think Armani had a couple of overthrows. Was his excitement level a little bit different? Did you notice anything different in his step?
Yeah, you know, a little different. And I don't know if it was excitement. I think, you know, what it was, they did a pretty good job of their pressure packages and disguising them. They did a lot more too high. You know, they were so physical up front. They didn't. What a lot of teams have had to do is drop that extra guy into the box and play the one high stuff, and that's kind of the looks that Armani's been seeing. They got a little bit more of the two high, and they do a good job of moving around and disguising their coverages and blitzes, and I think it took them a while to catch on to it.
That's right. I did notice that he was watching the rush a little bit. I mean,
first time I've seen him do
that.
Yeah,
I've never seen him do it this year. He's been pretty composed in the pocket when he does have to step back there and throw it, but first time I saw his eyes drop a little bit last week.
I agree with you 100%. You know, we talked about that, and again, that's part of the maturity and growing in that position, but you did see that a little bit, you know, after a couple of times being back there and then putting a little bit of pressure on him, you saw those eyes start to drop a little faster than he normally does.
A couple of the missed opportunities for the defense, we talked about a little bit, but two big pass interference penalties right around the time the score went to 17-3.
Yeah, and, you know, again, those are things that you've got to do a better job of the way you execute it. You know, you have Huff who's in great position. There's no reason to do it. I mean, it just has no bearing on the play, and you're running down the field with your left hand out on the shoulder. You got to drop that thing down to the hip. You drop it down to the hip, and you're running shoulder to shoulder. No one's going to call that. But that hand goes up to the shoulder, they're going to call it. And then Khalili on a third down. You know, we had another third down situation. He's in great position. He bats the ball down, but with his right arm, he's got it wrapped around the hip. And, again, there's no reason to do that. Put your hand on the back of him, right? Don't grab the hip, and you're in good position. So they're technical issues that our guys got to do a better job of executing.
How frustrating is that as a coach, watching your guys be in great position like they were, and then those kind of penalties being like almost backbreakers on those possessions?
Well, you know what they are? They're confidence penalties. And that's exactly what happens a lot of time in the secondary. When you know you're in good position and you're confident about it, you're not worried about the safety net. And the safety net is your hand up on the shoulder, the hand on the waist, just in case I'm going to pull them back. You know, and you know, you got to play more confident than that and know you're in the right position. And again, that's one of those things with those guys of developing their development as football players, of being confident and comfortable being in those positions without, you know, putting the hands in the wrong places.
Head coach Tony Sanchez with us, along with Caleb Herring. We're here at Born and Raised, which is presented by Finley Toyota, the Tony Sanchez Show, every Wednesday evening here at Finley Toyota. We speak 14 different languages. No matter how you say it, you'll always get a great deal at Finley Toyota. Rebels got what turned out to be their only touchdown. It was a nice drive. Big 54-yard catch during that drive. Catch and run by Brandon Presley. And that set up the touchdown toss to Kendall Keys, who made a great diving catch.
Yeah, and that really was. I mean, you know, it was tough sledding early on in the run game. And Brandon, as he's done the last couple games in a row, and he had another one in the second half, just made a big play, you know, catching the ball, extending it. And then Keys, it's great having him back. And you see he's still a little gimpish, you know, but, you know, he's probably about 85%, but he's just such a big, strong guy. And, you know, he's the guy you got to give opportunities. And we finally got down in the red zone and gave him one and ran a great route and made it a great catch.
It was good to see somebody other than Devontae Boyd step up and make a big play in the passing game. I know Presley's made one, a touchdown run on a jet sweep a couple weeks ago, but it was good to see the receivers kind of spread out and spread their wings, so to speak, with Kendall Keys getting in the end zone and Brandon Presley making a big play.
Yeah, it really is, because they're a really good group. I think Darren Woods had one real nice catch on third down, and it's good to see more of those guys. Drew Techman, you know, he had a drop, but he had some nice catches too at the end. So just getting more of those guys involved. I mean, they're talented guys, so we need to do a good job of getting spreading out the touches.
The Rebels were in the game. It was a two-possession game at halftime, 20-10. But shortly before the half, Rebels were the 3rd-and-1, which really would have been nice to convert. Unfortunately, they're not able to do it.
Well, we talked about that quite a bit, and it's real unfortunate. We call it a fist, right? The defensive end slanted across our tackle's face, and it just can't happen. And he ends up hitting Lex in the backfield, and then we don't pick that up. And the biggest thing on there is, you know, in a game when you're playing the number 19 team in the country, you're playing a team that's won the conference championship twice in a row. Those are things that you have to execute in order to win those ball games. You know, that ended up being a big, big swing, you know, because we convert that. At the very least, we're going into halftime, you know, 17-7, right? And if we continue down that drive, who knows, maybe we have a 17-10 ball game and we're getting the ball back, you know. No, I take that back. It was 17-10 at the time, right? It was 17-10, so it was even closer.
Right.
But again, so 17-10 at half or 17-14 at half, or you may go down and score, but regardless, the half needs to end with the ball in your hands. And by not doing that, it gives them the ball back. They end up going down, getting a field goal range, and now you have a 10-point game. So, you know, you're still in good position, but, man, if you can just hold on and execute at the end of the half, it changes that whole mindset.
Right. So the Rebels at half down 20-10. We're going to get into the second half of the game. Also talk a lot about the upcoming game against Air Force, because that's going to be a very important game for the Rebels as they try to get to 500. And later on in the second half of the show, we're going to have a chance with chat with Mr. Chauncey Sism, who has been a very important part of the secondary.
Hey, Chauncey's a great kid. He's added a lot to our program, a lot of leadership. He's been around for a long time, and so far I think he's had a great year.
Absolutely. He's been around the ball a lot. That's something I've noticed around him. We've said his name quite a few times in a broadcast. He's finding his way, both in passing and in running, and finding a way to make his impact felt on the defensive side. It'll be exciting to hear what he has to say.
Yes, we're going to have him coming up. We're going to take our first break right now. The Tony Sanchez Radio Show, live from Buena Reyes, presented by Finley Toyota. Before we break, I want to remind Rebels fans, post your fan pictures with a hashtag LesOlsonIT, and you might win a $100 Amazon gift card. Les Olson Company hopes you win. Visit LesOlsonIT.com for contest details. Les Olson Company, your office technology partner. Break number one coming up. Back with a whole lot more on the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, live from Buena Reyes, presented by Finley Toyota. This is Learfield.
On behalf of UNLV Sports Properties, we'd like to extend our deepest sympathies to all those affected by this weekend's attack. Please join us in supporting the victims by going to GoFundMe.com and donating to the Las Vegas Victims Fund. We are Vegas Strong.
Welcome back to the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, live from Buena Reyes, presented by Finley Toyota. Looking for a great car deal? Remember, nobody sells or services more vehicles in Nevada than Finley Toyota. At Finley Toyota, they'll do anything to sell you a car. Russ Langer here, along with Caleb Herring and the head coach, Tony Sanchez. We're discussing the latter portion now of the Rebel game against San Diego State. And as you pointed out, Coach, you just can't give San Diego State too many opportunities.
No, you can't. You know, I mean, we wanted to finish that first half better, but then in the second half, we had a great opportunity. We got the ball, you know, our own 25, drove it right down the field on them. Had another, I believe, big Presley play. Lex had a nice run. And we're down on the 31-yard line going in, first down, and we have a false start, and then we get sacked on the next play. And all of a sudden, you go from being in field goal range and a possibility of scoring a touchdown and tying it up to punting the ball away, and they drive down and score. So that's a big, big deal between that third down play in the first half, right, that cost you at a minimum of 3 points to the three you may have lost, or seven, to a seven-point swing. That really changes the dynamic. And then it got stuck there for a little bit. You know, they had that 27-10 lead that stuck for the majority of the game. I mean, it was 27-10 in the fourth quarter, you know. So it's one of those deals where we just, at that point, we never really threatened again offensively.
Do you feel like that drive, especially after, you know, the first half not finishing the way you wanted, and then that first drive having some success but not being able to finish it off, do you think that kind of took the air out of the offense? Did you feel the heads hanging a little bit after that drive?
Well, you know, the thing about it, when you go back and you watch a film, you know, our guys played hard. They never quit, but they just seemed a little out of energy. They seemed a little flat. I mean, they just – one of those deals where you're trying to drag them, let's go, guys, and they emotionally seemed a little spent, you know. So, again, you know, you go down, and it's not just the fact you didn't execute, it's then watching them go down and score. So it's like, goodness, you know, it's one of those deals where you got to be a little more mature in that situation and realize how much time you have. And then we kept preaching that to the guys throughout the course of the game. It's, you know, 27-10 in college football is nothing. I mean,
right,
you need about 6 minutes to come back from that.
Absolutely.
You know, nowadays it's as fast as you can go, and we just never really got our bearings again.
It just seemed like this is the first time that the Rebels really had a lot of trouble running, which, of course, is a strength for this team. And you can make the case they ran better against Ohio State.
No doubt. But, you know, we got to give credit to San Diego State, too. So, you know, it's things we could have done better. There's no doubt about it. We need to do things better. They're a team that eventually you're going to have to beat to win a conference championship at some point. But they're good. I mean, they're undefeated for a reason. They beat Stanford, you know, Arizona State. They're ranked number 19 in the country. And, you know, we needed to put two halves of football together against a really good football team. I thought we came out with a good plan in the first half and executed it fairly well. Could have done it a little bit better in the second half. They out-executed us and out-toughed us and, you know, just did a better job of finishing the ball game.
That's right. So defensively, we talked about the offense struggling, but then you also said the score, we saw the score stayed 27-10, for most of the second half.
Yeah.
So defensively, you must have been doing something good for that, you know, to remain, to keep them out of the end zone for so long.
Well, we did at times. You know, we gave up a lot of yards. But in the second half, there's always those moments where our defense holds for a little bit. We got a couple of three and outs. And, you know, the big underlying thing in the game offensively and defensively, and it's a stat not many people see, is possession and 10. And we got our tails kicked on possession and 10. So even though we gained some yards, we were able to move the ball at times, and defensively we got some stops, we consistently gave up too many yards. And I'm not talking about first downs, just when you're coming, you're transitioning from the sideline on, that possession and 10, we gave up almost 170 yards on possession and 10, and we gained 32 on possession and 10. When you look at that, you go, wow, that's, you know, that we got to be more mature coming out, you know, out of sitting off the bench and coming back into the game and getting your flow going right away, doing a better job on first down, having a better plan and executing that plan better. And we didn't do that. You know, you take that little chunk away and you look at the rest of the game and go, wow, that's really impactful on the success we have. When you're sitting there and it's second and 12 and second and 7 and second and 8, as a play caller, you become very limited, and your offense shrinks drastically. And when you're gaining, you know, 17 yards, 16 and 15 on possession and 10, all of a sudden you put the other team with a lot of shot plays, you know, and they did that. They got really aggressive because of the chunks they were gaining early on with the field position.
Okay. Were you surprised at all by the amount of, because they passed the ball a lot more than I expected. Traditionally, Rocky Long's teams, they run the ball heavily, and they did run it heavily, but they passed it a little bit more this game. Was that a little bit because of those shot plays that they were allowed to have because of their success on first and 10?
That and we did get stout against the run at times. I mean, they broke some big ones, but you saw, I mean, it was tough sledding for them early on too. I mean,
right.
You know, Penny, you know, quite a few times, you know, on a first down or a second and medium, you know, we're stuffing them for a yard, no yards, and we just couldn't consistently do it. So I think they saw, I mean, again, we're playing heavy into the box. When your safety start making a bunch of tackles,
all of a sudden
it sets up play action and pass. So they did a really good job of being balanced, and I think that's what they want to be when they can, but you have to force them to do that. So we did that. There's some things we did to give us a chance, and we knew that we needed them to throw the ball a little bit. They did. Didn't get any picks out of it. You know, we didn't get enough pressure. I believe we had one sack. You need to get more, you know, more pressure on the quarterback than that, and you know, that's kind of how it unfolded.
A couple of the Rebel players after the game kind of echoed those sentiments, Coach. Kyle Saxelid and Mike Hughes both saying, hey, we had a good game plan, which didn't execute well enough.
Yeah, I mean, and we did. I mean, we, you know, in week in and week out, I mean, I think 90% of the time when you're playing against teams, both sidelines have a pretty good game plan. You got to do a really good job of developing your guys so that they're athletic enough, long enough, physical enough, and fast enough to execute it, right, against great teams. And then they've got to really be 100% committed to it, you know. And at times, you know, we've seen our guys execute at a really, really high level, and we've had success. And at times, you know, we've struggled with it a little bit. So I think it's a combination of, you know, playing a good team. You know, they're good. You're going to have to be not perfect, but you're going to have to be pretty darn good and consistent the majority of the night to beat a good team like that, you know. And again, good team, don't execute at a higher level, you're not going to win that football game.
Absolutely. And you touched a little earlier about the energy level and how it was a little bit harder to pick the guys up. I think everybody in the stadium could feel as the game wore on that the energy to withstand the waves that San Diego State kept coming and, you know, driving back down towards you. It was just hard. Does that, I mean, I know you don't make excuses for anything, but an emotional week, obviously, of preparation going into last week's game. Do you feel like that emotional drainage kind of affected the team on Saturday?
You know, it's funny. I mean, it's catch-22 answering that question because, you know, if it did, then it did. But, you know, we can't worry about it. You can't look at it. You just can't make excuses. You got to find a way to get it done. So did it have an impact on them? It had an impact on the entire community. It had an impact on those officers who had to go back to work the next day, and those doctors and nurses that had to go back in the hospital. So as a football team, we're not going to complain about our energy level because of the things that happened.
Well said.
The Tony Sanchez Radio Show, live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road, presented by Finley Toyota. Finley Toyota, by the way, congratulates UNLV football on its 50th anniversary this year. Finley Toyota and UNLV Athletics, together, they make one great team. Third quarter, Rebels coming out. And as you point out, Coach, they were pretty much in it until the fourth. But in the third, one of the kind of happenstances that had to be, again, a stubbing of the toe type of frustration. Rebels moved from their own 25 to the San Diego State 31. And then right there, they took a penalty, and then, unfortunately for them, Armani got sacked.
Yeah, and again, you know, we've talked about that. You know, those who drive, you know, you put together to give yourself a great opportunity, and you got to execute that. You know, I mean, it's, you know, as I said before earlier, coming out of halftime, that was a big momentum shift. I mean, you want to be able to put points on the board.
Something that I noticed that was funny to me, I don't know, maybe you've been working on it in practice, but Armani slid for the first time. Have you guys had like a sliding coach come in? It was a good slide. He looked like he'd done it before. I mean, I'm proud
going
of him.
Second base, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's you know, we didn't practice it, but we talked to him about it. And hey, you know, he's got that option. He's got the sideline. He's got the slide. He's got the dive. You know, I told him, say, now if there's only one guy, you know, and he don't got a clean shot to get the first down, make sure you get it, you know. But he doesn't need to take unnecessary shots, you know. And it's a long season. So, again, that shows that he's thinking and he's evolving. And, you know, I like when he jukes a guy and keeps running, but I don't mind when he slides.
Yeah, right, right.
Well, I know you're probably a little weary of talking about him, but I'll mention it one more time, Rashad Penny. Heisman candidate, and he's doing it against everybody, not just the Rebels.
They take myself out of being the coach in that game and being a football fan. He's a fun kid to watch. Throughout the course of the week, you watch the body of work he's put together against a great team. He's a great football player. Catches the ball well in the backfield. He's powerful. He can, you know, dip that shoulder and you get the hard yards. He can the thing that's amazing is how fast he is. I mean, he can absolutely outrun you around the edge, and he's a good football player, and he's going to have a he can continue to have a great year. And he's going to have a great career after college.
You talked about it. I was shocked to see it in person, but I knew about the power coming into the game. But was his speed a shock factor when you saw it in game versus on film? Could you tell he was that fast on film?
Well, you could just on those kick returns. I mean, just the way you saw the way he stretched out and nobody was gaining ground on him. And we knew he was pretty fast. And he had a good game last year, too. You know, we watched him quite a bit. So, you know, a lot of our guys, first time they'd gone up against him. And being a guy that big, you just don't think he's going to have that type of elite speed, and he really does.
All right, we'll take our next break on the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, live from Born and Raised, presented by Finley Toyota. Before we break, we'll tell you, Finley Toyota is a proud supporter of UNLV football and has been since it opened. Finley Toyota and UNLV Athletics, one great team. A whole lot more coming up as the Tony Sanchez Radio Show with Caleb Herring and yours truly, Russ Langer, rolls on from Born and Raised, presented by Finley Toyota, and this is Learfield. Welcome back to Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road. This show, the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, presented by Finley Toyota. Don't miss a big play while you're checking your phone. Access the Contour Sports app from Cox with voice control or through the main menu and get stats and scores on your TV screen without interrupting the game. Visit cox.com/contour to learn more. Speaking of games, this is the place to come. It's 24/7 here at Born and Raised, and we're on Warm Springs between Buffalo and Durango. TV screens all over the place. They got terrific food here. I mean, if there were no TV screens here at all and no gaming, nothing like that, just a regular restaurant, it'd still be a fabulous place because you got great food and you got a wonderful menu that's got everything in the world you could think of.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. But we do like the TVs, too.
That's right.
And
they
got a whole bunch of them.
Oh, my goodness. Especially right around now.
Watching the Yankees play right
now. That's right.
Yankees-Indians, I think they're up 3-0. So
making it a series might pull off the upset. One of the biggest turnarounds in baseball playoff history. So that's exciting. Well, got some NBA preseason going on as well. So,
yeah,
they got it all here.
A little of this, a little of that. Caleb, your take on the San Diego State quarterback, Christian Chapman.
Oh, well, he showed some composure. I think what you do in the San Diego State offense is your quarterback is usually a manager of the game. I think a lot of people look at that term as like a negative term on quarterbacks when they say, oh, he's just a game manager. Well, when you got a good offense with a good running back, a solid running game, it's important to manage the game. I think he did a good job in situations that he was called upon to throw. He's more accurate than I anticipated him being. And a lot of that comes from having that running game, being able to have that play-action pass in your back pocket and just delivering accurate passes. So he did a good job. I think he was a solid game manager, and that's what Rocky Long has traditionally looked for in a San Diego State quarterback.
All right, and what about your perception of Armani's where he was in this particular game? I know he got sacked a couple times, but obviously a very tough defense.
That's right, Ed. Going into the game, San Diego State does a lot of things to confuse and give different looks, just a lot of movement on defense, moving parts that, especially with an off front that they usually run, they allow for a lot of movement. So it's already hard to prepare for them as a quarterback when you're going into facing that. Honestly, looking back at last week, it's an emotional week for everybody, obviously, and preparation is the number one thing for a quarterback. So, like Coach said earlier, we're not going to make excuses about it because you still got to go out and do your job and play the game. But the preparation, it seemed like he wasn't comfortable all the way with what he was seeing on game day. And a lot of the times that goes back to what happened during the week, where you necessarily caught off guard by something or something like that, or just not confident all the way in what you were seeing. So that could have been the case with him. Like Coach said, a little bit looking down at the rush. That was the number one thing that I saw. And that's the hardest thing to get over as a quarterback, especially a young quarterback, when live bullets are coming at you. Once you start peeking down at the rush, everything else is obsolete. Whoever's open doesn't really matter. Your accuracy will be affected because you're staring at the rush, trying to figure out where that hit's coming from. And I saw him do that for the first time this season. Out of all the games that he's played, he did that today, or last week rather. And that's one of the things that you got to get over and get back to yourself, kind of. Also, you got to mention that the running game wasn't there. UNLV's predominantly a run team. That the offense goes run first. When the run goes, everything else goes. And this was the first time that you can see that the run game was completely stymied. So he didn't have that safety net, so to speak, to fall back on like San Diego State does with their running game. So you saw that the effects of that bear out as the game wore on, and the offense just kind of staggered from there.
All right. Next up for the Rebels this Saturday. It's a day game, by the way. Rebels are at Air Force. It's a noon game in the Mountain Time Zone, 11 o'clock in the morning in the Pacific Time Zone. Both teams coming off losses at Air Force in a shootout with Navy. That was a wild one, right, Coach?
It really was. I mean, when you see two triple option teams play against each other, you do not expect to see a box score like that in the amount of points. I mean, you think that's going to be a 21-17 ball game, and it wasn't. They're two dynamic offenses. Air Force leads our conference in points scored. And, you know, they took a great Navy team to the brink. You know, Navy, I think, is ranked 25 in the country. And, you know, when you look at Air Force's record this year, it's kind of interesting. I mean, you know, they played Michigan to a close game, played Navy to a real close game, four-point game against San Diego State, got the one win. And so they're a deceptively good football team. So we got to do a really good job of being assignment sound on defense, you know, tackling all three phases all the time. And then we got to be explosive on offense. We got to put points on the board this game.
It's surprising to see a box score like that against Navy. With, you know, usually the thing that gets people against a team like Air Force or Navy with that wing T read option, you know, cut blocks up front, the team that gets you is you're unfamiliar with it. But it's surprising to see two teams that are very familiar with those systems, obviously, because they both do them, kind of have problems stopping it, you know. So that was a little bit unique for me to see.
We talked about that, you know, as a staff a little bit, and it is, because you would think that someone who knows that offense so well would do a good job of stopping it. But I think what it does is it shows how difficult it is to stop. You know, offensive coordinators in those systems, you know, we often ask, hey, what things you struggle with, what bothers you. You know, we made plenty of phone calls, and, you know, I actually coached in that system for a short amount of time when I was at Oñate High School in New Mexico. And there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of things going on. But when you get Navy and Air Force not being able to stop that offense that they run all year round, it just shows you how difficult of an offense it is to stop, even when you know it.
That's right.
Both teams are averaging more than 31 points a game, and both teams are giving up at least 30 or more points per game. So certainly no surprise why a lot of folks are expecting a high-scoring game.
Yeah, well, we'd like to keep that average going and eliminate the average of giving it up.
That's,
you know,
right.
I mean, we got to do a better job of we got to do a better job on defense of getting off the field on third downs. We have to do a better job of not giving up the amount of rush yards that we are. We got to do a better job on our third down efficiency. And offensively, at times, we've shown how explosive we can be, and we need to be that more consistently, you know. And, you know, it's been kind of an interesting, year. You know, you go out and you score, you know, 40 points, you know, three or five games. You know, one of them you don't win. You know, you want to see that consistency, even against Ohio State. You know, you found a way to put up 21, 14 on own, 7 on D, you know. But, you can't have 10-point games. I mean, you're not going to win many games anywhere in the country in any conference when you're doing that. So, again, defense has got to do a better job, and offense has just got to be more consistent. We have an explosive offense. We have the ability to score a lot of points and put people in tough situations, and we need to do that this weekend.
Defensively, first and second down this week, I think more than any other week, are going to be big, because if you can force Air Force to some third and 10, some third and 8s, where they have to throw the ball, or they, you know, got to start thinking about throwing it at least, their offense isn't built. That wing D is not built to convert those third and long. So that could help your defense's third down conversion or stoppage rate this week.
And you're 100% right. I mean, it's imperative. And, you know, and another reason it's so important is they'll go for it on fourth down more than anybody will play all year. So if they're sitting there and they're around midfield, and you got a fourth and two. Well, you better keep your defense on the field because they're not punting it. So you really have got to do a good job on first and second down because, you know, again, if they got third down and five, they're going to run it two times. You know, so it's not the traditional offense where third and five is a passing down for them in the middle of the field or red zone going in. That's two down territory.
Address, if you would, Coach, the preparation for the triple option. The Rebels haven't played Air Force since 2014, so a lot of the guys haven't faced the triple option.
Yeah, no. So we knew that, and we did what a lot of teams do. We worked on it in the spring, devoted 20 minutes, I believe, four times to it. And then in camp, you know, there was four different practices where we did option sessions. And then when we got into our bye week, we actually worked on it on a Sunday night. So, you know, we've shown it to them. So, at least the terminology and the basic concepts of, you know, what they're trying to do, the three phases, you know, obviously the dive, you know, the quarterback keep and the pitch, you know, you understand that. The scary thing about these guys, too, is, you know, when they're working on all cylinders and playing well, they're going to attempt 7 to 8 passes a game, and normally that results in about 180 to 200 yards and three touchdowns because you get caught sleeping. So we got to do a really good job of making sure that, you know, if we are stopping the run and doing a good job, we'll see if we are. But if we do that, then we don't let our guard down and get beat, you know, on a simple play.
That's right. You talked about the quarterback, all the options, the three phases, dive, quarterback, and the pitch. They've seemed for the past two games to kind of lean heavily on their quarterback. He's had the bulk of their carries, 30 carries last week, 20 carries the week before to lead the team in actual attempts and in yards. So he's pretty much their guy. Have you had any specific emphasis placed on the quarterback in this week's matchup?
Yeah, 100%. You know, and the thing is he's so good at reading you. I mean, if you're going to be hell-bent on stopping him and taking him away, he'll hand the dive, he'll go to the pitch. So you have to know where he is. You've got to know in any option offense, you know, that your quarterback's your best athlete. You know, he's your guy. He is your tailback. He is he's everything, you know, in those offenses. You look at Georgia Tech and, you know, and their quarterbacks. I mean, they're the dynamic guys. And you think Air Force throughout their head. Remember when I was in high school, they had the D. Dallas, right? And he was a great player. And, I mean, it's just that's what they do. So you have to know that it's a quarterback-centered offense. You've got to eliminate him, but you can't get caught sleeping on the dive or the pitch. I mean, the biggest thing is you can't overemphasize one guy because literally at the end of the snap, all three phases need to be laying on the ground.
That's right.
We'll take now we're going to have our conversation with Chauncey Sisson. He's a senior defensive back, big part of the secondary out of Syracuse. Our conversation with Chauncey Sisson here on the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. Visiting with Chauncey Sisson of the Rebels defensive backfield. Chauncey, first of all, discuss how your passion for football first developed in you when you were young.
Well, in a young age, you know, I had some young coaches, you know, that just, you know, showed me the way coming up and just showed me that, you know, this is something I could excel at a young age. They saw, you know, potential in me. And, you know, something that, you know, from the first care, you know, playing offense, you know, it was a first love. So it was something I just stuck with. And I just, you know, over the time, I developed more and more of a passion for it and just more and more of a work ethic.
What other positions did you play before defensive back?
I started off at running back growing up, moved to a little bit of wide receiver and then quarterback and then playing defensive back.
Okay. As a youngster growing up back east, mm-hmm. You Jets fan, Giants fan, who'd you follow?
Actually, I was a Cincinnati Bengals fan. Chad Ochocinco, he was my favorite player, so pretty much has stuck with me growing up, and so, you know, still to this day I'm a Cincinnati fan.
So because of him you became a Bengals fan?
Yeah, pretty much, yep.
Okay. All right, now as you moved up and started to develop a little bit more, when did you realize that this is something that you really wanted to do?
I would say, well, from a young age, my mom would always say I would always watch TV, I always watch football games and say, you know, point at the TV and be like, that's what I wanted to do. And, you know, she'd always tell me, you know, it's something I got to work for. And, you know, it's not something that, you know, I can always just take as a game. It's something that, you know, I have to develop a passion for and just be serious about and also have fun at the same time. So at a very young age, I would say probably Pop Warner in middle school, I knew I could really do something with this.
All right. And what was it that got you into Syracuse? Let's take that leg of your journey.
I believe I was a big Syracuse fan growing up. Over the years, you know, I went to the camps and developed a good relationship with Coach Scott Schaefer when he was a D coordinator there, when he took over as the head job. So I kept in good contact with him. You know, he really loved me as a player, and you know, when he got the head coaching job, that's when he recruited me and offered me a spot up there. So that's when you know, I knew I could play at that level.
And what were some of the things that led to you moving over here?
Just a coaching change at the staff. you know, pieces that I didn't feel like fit me the best, you know, was more opportunity for younger guys. So decided, you know, to move on to somewhere else and, you know, try and get on the field somewhere else and make an impact.
What's it been like for you here?
It's been good. You know, I've been getting the playing time that I wanted, been making plays, helping the defense out, and, you know, they've been helping me. We've learned a lot of things, spread a lot of, intelligence and, you know, things on the field back and forth. So I feel like it's been a great move so far.
Our guest is Chauncey Sizem on this edition of the Tony Sanchez Show, live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. Chauncey, this defense has shown some good things, but has also been really challenged of late. To what degree is this a work in progress now?
Well, every week's a work in progress. We're just trying to go back in the film room, see the things that we need to make corrections on, see what we did good at, just keep the things that we did good at the same, and just keep improving the things we need to, you know, need work on. And then, you know, that's every week thing. So we're just going to continue to do that, put our head down and grind, and, you know, and then hope for the best results.
You played some two ranked teams, Ohio State, now San Diego State. How does going up against competition like that, that's especially quick and especially good, help you in your development?
I think it helps me a lot, you know, just to see where I'm at. I believe, you know, I'm up, you know, and can compete against that talent week in and week out. So I don't look at it as a challenge. I just look at it as an opportunity.
What are some of your favorite musical artists?
Musical artists? My favorite, J. Cole, big Fab fan. Man, who else? Biggie Smalls, of course. Oh, man, who else? Let me see. I said those are the top right now. Those are the top.
What about movies?
Movies? Favorite sports movie, Friday Night Lights. I like the movie 300. That's a good one. Paid in Full is a good one. I'm a big Will Smith fan. Any Will Smith movie. Those are my top ones, definitely.
I Am Legend?
Yep. Oh, yeah, definitely. 7 Pounds, All the Hitch, all those ones. Yep, all those.
Chauncey, good to have you. Thanks for the time.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Chauncey Sizem, our guest, back with a whole lot more as the Tony Sanchez Radio Show rolls on Learfield. Welcome back to the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. At Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road, Findlay Toyota's 2017 model clearance is underway. All 2017 models are being sold at clearance prices. Come in today for the best selection. Speaking of clearance, Mr. Sanchez's plate is being cleared right now.
It is. I'm killing this artichoke.
How's that artichoke?
It's really good. It's been a while since I had one.
Yeah, man. Oh, dig in, Coach.
Getting it all prepped for the breaks.
That's right. There you go. It's all the strategy for everything is laid out.
Oh, the 100%. Strategy.
I'm executing right now.
That's right. Big time execution. And speaking of, the Rebel theme, obviously, it's been said many times, alignment, assignment, technique, fanatical effort. It would seem, Coach, like for this particular assignment on Saturday, assignment might be the single biggest theme.
It's everything. You know, we've talked about that a bunch. I mean, you've got – and the thing is you have to have your eyes right. This whole game is about having your eyes right. If your eyes aren't in the right spot, if you're not reading your keys, if you're trying to find the ball, if you're looking in the backfield defensively, you're going to be in trouble. And that's the biggest thing is, you know, it's assignment, assignment, assignment. Get your eyes right. Rally to your assignment.
With this option style, one of the biggest things that I've learned over the years, being an offensive guy, obviously, but watching defenses prep for it, is a trust factor that you have to have with this kind of read. Not only do you have to know what your job is and be locked in on yours, but in order to do that, you have to trust that the other guy is going to do his. Like, I got the quarterback. I'm staying with him. I'm going to trust that my teammate behind me has got the pitch guy. You know, stuff like that. That's just imperative to stop a team like this.
Well, these games really make that so evident, you know, who is really believing in what you're trying to get done as far as the system and, you know, the scheme that week. Because you're right. I mean, you can't take the dive and the quarterback, and you can't take the quarterback and the pitch, and you can't take the pitch and the quarterback. You got one assignment, you know, and you might have one guy feathering it a little bit, but other than that, you've got to take care of those assignments.
And for all the talk about the running game, obviously what Air Force has done at times, they get you to fall asleep a little bit, then they hit you with a play-action pass.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, you really saw it in the VMI game, the first game of the season, and they were giving a lot of one-high looks, and you saw guys just running clean down the football field, and they do it against everybody, you know. And you know, so you want to get them to put the ball in the air, like you said, on third downs. You know, Caleb, you know, if you do that, then it's a more traditional down. You know, you can play it a little differently, but, man, if they're sitting there at, you know, second and five, you know, if they're sitting there on third and twos and, you know, they got possession and tens on your side of the field where they're in four down their territory, you better have your eyes wide open and be reading your keys because they're going to try to take advantage of you.
That's right. The reason that some of those shot plays are so effective is because everything in these offenses looks the same. Like, you know, the play can start off looking just like a fullback dive or the same old option you've been seeing the whole time. And that backside wing backs just streaking down the field, unbeknownst to anybody. It looks exactly the same. That's how they catch people slipping.
All right. The other thing about this, of course, is that I know you don't like to talk about this kind of stuff, Coach, for conditions, because you got to be tough and go out and play the game regardless of anything else. But I have it. It is a different altitude up there. It's higher than about any place in North America for college football. But it reminds me of a story, and it's more to do with basketball. Because you know all about New Mexico. You and I both lived there for a long time. And in Albuquerque, they had one of the tournaments they had there for hoops years ago when Billy Tubbs was coaching the Oklahoma Sooners hoops team. And Billy was a good old boy. And they had the tournament there, and one of the reporters said to him during the press conference leading up to the tournament, said, "Well, what, Billy, you know, you guys are used to playing at sea level. What about coming up here where it's the high, thin air, and you can get run out of the gymnasium because you're not used to it, you run out of gas?" And with a straight face, Billy said, "Well, I don't worry about that too much because I play the game indoors."
Exactly. Well, you know what's funny about that is I knew that story, and I used it on my Gorman guys when we played in Northern Arizona. And we were playing in their dome, and I told our guys, "Well, don't worry about it. We're inside. There's no altitude when you're inside." And about a week or two later, one of the kids at school comes up and he goes, "Hey, Coach, you lied to us." I said, "Yeah, you're right, I did." You know, and but you know, it's funny. It's a perfect example of don't put too much of an effort. What are you going to do? There's nothing you can do about it. You just got to go there and play. So, you know, talk about it all you want. Or, I mean, I don't worry about those type of things. You know, you got to come play us when it's hot. You go there when it's you know, high altitude. And it's something to think about. You want to be able to rotate guys, and depth is an important deal, and getting them to get their bearings a little bit early in the game. And but you know, it is what it is. I think they got those signs there too, right?
No, I was just going to
say, beware of thin air.
they have a chant actually. All the cadets are in the stands when you're coming out of the tunnel. The visiting team, when you're coming out, they're chanting, "There is no air," just reminding you that the air is thinner here. Like, you know, and the last time I was there, it was freezing cold too, so I wasn't worried about the thin air. It was just cold, so it didn't matter what the air was doing. It was freezing. But you know, that reminder, I think it's something you got to try to tune out. I think, because it is a little bit of a difference if you think about it. But once you get playing and your adrenaline's going, it's football. You know, the ball's rolling out there just like it is for everybody else.
I was there too, Caleb. That was 2013. The Rebels went the coldest game Air Force, which is saying a lot, has ever played in, and naturally the coldest game the Rebels have ever played in. That was, of course, it was a lot later in the year than this game will be, but it was 22 below.
Yeah, and the thing that shook me about it was we thought we were going to be, you know, show our toughness, and our O-lineman came out with no sleeves on at first, you know, for warm-ups. And then the Air Force guys comes out. They're bundled up, sweaters. They're like, and they're looking at us before the game. They're like, what are you guys doing? It's freezing out here. So so we're like, okay, let's go back in, put the long cold gear on. So thankfully this week, it won't be anywhere near as cold.
No, not anything close. All right, time for our next break. So this is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. We are live at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels, on the road on Learfield. Ladies and gentlemen, come into Finley Toyota for the largest selection of new, certified, pre-owned, and used vehicles to choose from. Finley Toyota. They'll do anything to sell you a car. Rebels coming up this Saturday, a day game at Air Force against the high-flying Air Force team. They score a lot. They give up a lot. And a lot of people talking about a possible shootout. You know, Coach, with everything that has gone on over the past week and a half and all the emotion that has been expended and everything, in this particular case, will it possibly help on some level being on the road?
You know, I've been asked that a lot this week. And, you know, I never minded road games, you know, regardless of the situation, just because, you know, I think they're good periodically just to get you away, you know, when you travel, your travel roster is all guys that play. You know, when you're at home, you're suiting up, you know, 103 guys. And, you know, and sometimes one of the hardest things is getting that focus inside the locker room when there's 30, 40 guys that know that they're not part of really what's going on. They're redshirting or they're not really playing. And so you got to manage that. Well, when you're on the road, you don't have to manage that. And this is a week that, you know, obviously it's been a big emotional time, you know, here. So just kind of getting away and getting in the hotel with the guys. I think it'll be nice just to be able to have some small conversations and just be around them, and, you know, in a real confined setting, you know, for a good duration of time and get ready to go play.
I found the same thing when I was playing. Away games kind of limited the distractions, whether it's within the team, whether it's personal stuff you got going on in your life around. Once you get on that plane, all you're doing is locked in on the scouting report, get to your room, lock in on the scouting report. You got nothing else but the guys that are going to battle with you the next day. So, like you said, road games really refocus you and get you locked in.
All right, and obviously the Rebels will try to run quite a bit, but if they can get the passing game going, it'll open up some running lanes, right?
Yeah, we want to be balanced. I mean, we want to be able to run the football in this game and establish that. We want to be able to throw the ball down the field, get the ball in the talented receiver's hands. We need to be able to do both.
It'll be exciting to watch the offense get back on track. I'm excited. Usually after a lull, after a week like that, the offense is hungry to get back out there and kind of redeem themselves. So I'm excited to see what they do.
Coach, appreciate it. We'll see you on the plane.
Yeah, absolutely. Go Rebs.
Go Rebs.
Absolutely.
Cale, we'll see
Go
you.
Rebs. We will be there.
All right. Want to thank Mark Seidel. Great job producing this one. Ari here on right here on site at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. This Saturday, kickoff at 11:08 a.m. Pacific time, because it's on the Mountain Time Zone. It'll be just after noon, 11:08 here, and we hope you'll join us, Caleb Herring, and yours truly on the call right here on your radio dial. Rebels and Air Force coming up. Rebels try to go to 3-3 overall on the season. That's it from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. Thanks very much, everybody.
This has been the Tony Sanchez Show, brought to you by Country Financial. At Country Financial, we know planning for your future can feel overwhelming, but something this important deserves attention. Take simple steps today at countryfinancial.com/simple steps. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Rebel Sports Network.